Coming up, you've waited for it, you've wanted it. We're going to review the new BlackBerry phone, plus a look at the Surface Pro. Yeah, Russell's got one. Coming up, it's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. Before You Buy is brought to you by Stamps.com. Start using your time more effectively with Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com now. Click on the microphone and enter Before You Buy. Hey, welcome to Before You Buy, TWiT's product review show where we get great stuff from all over the place and we give it to our staff to review, and we've got some interesting reviews for you. Starting off with our producer, Shannon Moore. Snubs took a look at some speakers called Zooka. Shannon?
Hey guys, this is Shannon Morse, the producer of Before You Buy, and today I have the Zooka by Carbon Audio. Now this started out as a Kickstarter and it costs about $100 online right now. This is kind of an interesting speaker. It was designed specifically to use with tablets. So, for example, you can dock it and use a little kickstand on the back to plug in your iPad and use it via Bluetooth with really, really loud sound quality. Now, one of the other cool things about this, it has two 30-millimeter speakers on both ends, so you kind of get a surround sound feel to it. This thing keeps on falling out. I'm just going to take it out. And it is said to get up to 5 times louder than what your normal sound quality from your iPad tablet will give you. And I have to completely agree with that because it can get extremely loud.
Invariably, how would I pass this? When my coder girl grants me room access.
That sounds very clear.
Basically, she's a certified A+.
Now, it comes in tons of different colors. You can get it in pink and purple, blue, green, yellow, pretty much every range of the spectrum. And it also weighs under 2 pounds, so it's not going to add a whole lot of extra baggage to your purse. It does have a built-in mic, although I will say that the call quality was not that excellent, and it runs off of Bluetooth. I'm not sure of which version it was because it was not actually listed anywhere, surprisingly. The Bluetooth quality is pretty excellent with it, though. Works quite well. Now, this kickstand thing, this little thing right here, you screw that in the back, and you get what we have right here. You dock your iPad to it very easily. You just screw it in. And if you're never using your kickstand, you can put it back into the little kickstand holder on the end. Now, it does have a problem with certain ones. Although I had two to review, one of them it easily fell out of, and it kept falling out. So you could probably lose this pretty easily. The other one, the red one, the kickstand never fell out of. It was fitted very tightly in there, so I didn't have any problems with that one ending up, you know, losing it or what have you. It also has an aux-in jack on the back. Although, whenever I wanted to use this as a kickstand, I cannot access the aux-in jack because it's setting on the bottom. That's a little bit of an issue with the design. Now, it does have 8 hours of battery, so it's going to last you a very long time. It does not take long to charge, and it also has this nice silicone coating to it, so you won't get any scratches or smudges unless you're dropping it a whole lot and you end up with sneaker marks all over the thing. So all in all, it does have a really, really nice design, but it has a lot of cons to it as well. So my pros and cons. First off, the pros. It has really nice, crisp vocals. I think this one would be excellent for podcasting. I was able to listen to all sorts of things with Coral and with podcasts, and everything I listened to sounded great, even up to the highest volume setting on the thing. And it has a pretty nifty design. However, there are a couple of issues that I had with that design, and that takes me to the cons. First off, you can lose the kickstand if you get one that does not fit it very well, and the aux-in cord is not included with this guy. Also, if you're using it in that kickstand way, you're going to cover up some of the features. And it also has a lot of popping to it. Whenever you're switching from one Bluetooth device to another, that can be quite a problem. It can just get kind of annoying. The bass quality isn't that great. You just can't really hear the bass that well. And it doesn't do well with calls as well. They sound kind of, I would call it tingy, what have you. So all in all, I do have to give this a don't buy, unfortunately. I am looking forward to seeing maybe a second generation of this where those design qualities are fixed, because I think that all together it would be a great speaker, but I just can't get with those design qualities. So it's a don't buy. And again, I'm Shannon Morris, and this is the Zooka by Carbon Audio.
Bazooka! Thank you, Shannon. Shannon Morris, our producer for Before You Buy. We've got the big boss here, the CEO of Twit. Lisa Kensel is here because she's been waiting for this product for a long time. Hi, Lisa.
How's it going?
And Ozzy. I see you have Ozzy in your lap.
I do. I have somebody helping me out here with my review.
Lisa's an iPhone 5 user.
Yes.
And when you went from the iPhone 4S to the iPhone 5, you had to leave something very important behind.
I did. I had to leave my Mophie case behind, but they finally came out with an iPhone 5 Mophie Juice Pack Helium. And I'm so excited because they've actually changed the design of it. They've moved the USB charger from the bottom that was on the side. So if you ever dropped your iPhone 4S, you would dent.
You cracked yours. You cracked several Mophie juice packs for the old one. Yeah.
I went through about five of them.
Because it would hit that corner, and it was a weak spot.
It was a weak spot. It would hit the side where the charger was, and it would break. So now they moved it to the bottom, which I really like.
Probably has something to do with the fact that now this is a lightning cable support. So that's one of the reasons it took so long, too.
The other thing, too, is it's a lot sleeker. It's lighter than the 4S. They've moved the battery charger. There's one thing they did do, which I'm not crazy about, is that they've actually
turn it around because we're looking at the other. The jack is on the other side. See, look at this.
See the jack?
There you go. Now we can see it.
The jack is now in the middle. It used to be on the side.
Right.
But now the headphone jack, they've added an adapter. So this is
because
kind of a
so
pro
deep.
And a con.
Yeah.
It's deep now, but the problem was on the old ones, I snapped off so many of my headphones by shoving them in too quickly. So now you can't do that, but you have to also carry around this little adapter. So my only problem is with this adapter, I like the concept because now I'm not going to be shoving in my headphone jack and breaking it all the time. But with the adapter, now you could lose it because it's this tiny little thing you have to carry around. There's nowhere to put it on the case.
It's not unusual. I see that a lot with cases. They're too deep for normal headphones. So it is always a problem with cases. At least they've got a solution for you. But the real point of the juice pack is it's a battery. It's extended battery.
It's an extended battery. It also protects, you know, the case pretty well. So when your iPhone starts to die, you can flip the little switch on the back, and it'll give you another 6 hours.
6 hours.
6 hours.
So it's not a full charge. It's like almost a full charge.
No, it'll fully charge it probably almost. It's almost twice.
So it is almost twice. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, the iPhone boasts that your battery life's about 8 hours.
Right.
But I think I go through it in 4 or 5 hours, and this will charge it again.
This is why you need a
juice pack. Yeah, so when they say it's less than a full charge, I disagree. I think it pretty much charges at one time, but it's great for when you're traveling and, you know, you're needing to carry around that extra battery. Now, the pros for this is definitely an extended battery. It protects, you know, your phone. The cons are a lot of guys don't like this because they want to slip their iPhone in their back pocket, and slipping this in your back pocket may not work
as
well.
It's a little bit more bulky.
I don't have a problem putting this in my back pocket. I find this a lot sleeker. It's only 2.5 ounces more than the iPhone itself. So I actually like it, but I hear that most guys don't like that. So it doesn't bother me at all. I think all the other features, you know, are definitely a pro. And for $79.99, I would definitely buy it.
A definite buy. $80. That's the juice pack.
It's the Mophie juice pack helium.
Helium. They have an air juice pack air also now.
I believe the air is coming out.
It's
supposed to be $99.99.
Yeah, but not a lot more juice.
I think 2 more hours of battery life.
Right.
So it just depends on what you need it for. This is great for trade shows, for travel. I listen to books. I use it through the airport. So if you're traveling a lot, you definitely just, you know, flip the switch and you have your phone for all day.
Because the iPhone doesn't have a replaceable battery, something like that is absolutely necessary. And Mophie's done a really good job, I think.
I think it did a great job. I mean, I'd like to buy one in a couple more months and let them work out all the kinks on this.
Well, we should mention that one fell apart.
So
Burke had to glue it back together.
I'm afraid to take the bottom off, but this one did fall apart, and I understand it's kind of a
defect. Is it a prototype, or is it was that a shipping version?
This came out, I believe, right before they actually sent them out.
Maybe
so I'm
it was
hoping
a,
this
a
is a
poorly
prototype,
glued prototype.
But when I took it apart for the first time, the entire bottom fell off. So you're supposed to be able to take it apart. I'm a little I'm a little leery about pulling it apart.
Let's not break it.
So let's not break it this time.
Thanks for to Burke for gluing it back together.
Yes, I appreciate that. But I've never had that happen before. So I think it's just, you know, it was an early release.
So for $20 more, you can get the new Juice Pack Air in a few days. And that will give you a full 100% charge. This gets about 80% of the full charge. But you know what? That's probably plenty.
It's plenty. Yeah. It'll last you all day.
Thank you, Lisa. Lisa Kensel, right, the Twit CEO and the Mophie Juice Pack Helium, because it's lighter than air. Get it? And the air's like both of them.
It.
Neither
it's
one floats. So I can tell you that right now. We're going to come back in just a bit with Tony Wang and a review of the Lumia 810. I've got the new BlackBerry Z10. I'm very excited about talking about that. And Russell's here with the Surface Pro. He was able to find one. But first, what is this? You know what this is? This is my stamps.com scale. If you're a pro mailer, if you do a lot of time in the post office, stop. Don't go to the post office anymore. Use stamps.com to buy and print official U.S. postage on demand as you need it. Postage for any class of mail. In fact, if you're printing on envelopes, it'll print right on the envelope with the return address, the mailing address, your company logo, and the postage all in one swell swoop. Saves you a lot of time. No more waiting in line at the post office. No more gluing stamps on envelopes. With the scale, the USB scale, you always have exactly the right postage for your package or your letter. And I'll show you how you can get this for free in just a little bit. So stamps.com, you even get discounts you can't get at the post office on express mail and priority mail. They fill out the forms for you. They'll take the address from your address book, from QuickBooks, from Etsy, if you're an Etsy seller, or an Amazon, you know, eBay or PayPal seller. Just it makes it as easy as pie. So you can do all the fulfillment with just a couple of clicks of the mouse. And then the mail carrier comes to you and picks it up. You can even schedule free pickups anytime. So here's the deal. Go to stamps.com. You're going to see that $80 special offer. Don't do it. I got a better one for you. Click the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Enter before you buy, all one word, and that $80 bonus offer is going to turn into a $110 bonus offer. With $55 in free postage you can use over the first few months of your stamps account, you get a free digital scale. You just pay the shipping and handling on that. It's about $5. We'll make up for that with a $5 supply kit. And, of course, a four-week trial of stamps.com. Give it a try today. You're going to love it. But make sure you use our offer code before you buy to get that $55 in free postage. Stamps.com. All right. Tony Wang is our editor-in-chief. He does all the editing for us, and we give him a lot of the phones. He's become kind of our Android, go-to Android guy. But we thought, let's throw him a loop. Let's give him a Windows phone and see what he thinks of the Lumia 810. Tony?
I'm Tony Wang for Trail TV, and before you buy, and today I'm going to take a look at the Nokia Lumia 810 for T-Mobile. Nokia Lumia 810 is the third offering from Nokia's Lumia lineup. We reviewed the Nokia 820 before, as well as the Nokia Lumia 822. And this is pretty much the identical twin of the Nokia Lumia 820, which is the original phone designed by Nokia. So what we're looking at with this phone, we have a 1.5 GHz Snapdragon S4 processor, dual core, of course, 8 megapixel camera. The 810 comes with Nokia's clear black technology for its display, and you can see the 4.3 inch display really well in direct sunlight. Even though the display is OLED, it is only 4.3 inches, so it is not the highest resolution out there at the moment, and so it's only 800 by 480, which is a shame. The A10 is also quite chunky, coming in at over 5 ounces. That's a bit heavier than its direct competitor, the HTC AX, which is also your other choice if you're on T-Mobile. Just like the A22 and the A20, you get an 1800 milliamp per hour battery that's removable. So if you ever run out of juice, pop off the rear cover and you're good to go. And since the phone does keep Nokia's original design of the A20, the only thing that you need to get for this phone in terms of aftermarket accessories is a different color backing, and then you're good for the wireless charging. The phone does come with a very nice Carl Zeiss lens, coming at 8 megapixel, and it is so close to its bigger brother, the 920, that the image quality is actually very impressive in low light, and is actually superior than HTC AX, even though the AX has a faster lens at f2.0. And as I mentioned before, the Nokia Lumia 810 does indeed support wireless charging, so once you get your cover that supports wireless charging, you can get the wireless charger also from Nokia using the Qi standard and charge wirelessly. When you pop off the back cover of the Nokia Lumia A10, you see the expansion slot for micro SD card up to 32 gigabytes storage. And that's on top of your built-in 8 gigabytes. So you can have potentially up to 40 gigabytes of storage.
We can go up to, the big things.
We can go up to 32.
Yeah, only on pictures and music, but not on apps.
Pros and cons of the Nokia Lumia A10. Pro, you're getting the phone that Nokia designed, not the phone that Verizon designed, the Nokia 822. You also get an expansion slot for up to 32 gigabytes. And with its ingenious design where the majority of the phone cover can be removed and replaced with a brand new one, there's really no need for you to put this phone in a case. For the con of the phone does have a relatively low resolution display, considering there's higher resolutions out there, such as HTC AX. So if you're going to T-Mobile, or if you're already on T-Mobile and you're interested in getting a Windows Phone 8 device, your choices are Lumia 810 or the HTC AX. So buy, try, or don't buy for the 810. It's going to be a buy. It's definitely a better choice over the HTC AX with superior camera, wireless charging, and expandable memory. I'm Tony with Twitter TV, and before you buy, and this is a Nokia Lumia 810.
Wow, I'm actually shocked.
Yeah.
I'm actually shocked. So Tony's here, Tony Wang, editor-in-chief. First of all, what did you say when we bleeped you out? What were the words that we had to bleep out?
I said crappy. Yeah.
So you don't get a belt, chat room, for the word crappy. I'm surprised because everybody seems to like the 8X an awful lot.
Yeah, you know, I love the AX, except I've been using it for 3 months now, and it's starting to creak.
Interesting. So you think this 810 will hold up a little bit better?
Yeah, I mean, with the 810, you can just, I hope you don't mind, Radford. I'm just going to...
This is Radford's 810.
Just take off and
change the shell.
Right, just buy a brand new shell. So,
and it is a better camera.
Better camera.
Yeah, it's a little clunkier.
But they're actually the same thickness.
They are?
Yeah, it's just...
Isn't that funny? That just shows you how design can make such a difference, because the 8X has that wedge design. It makes it feel and look thinner.
Exactly.
But then the square 810. That's very interesting. I would not have thought that. Good. So the 810 is a good buy. And, you know, a lot of people now are looking at T-Mobile because they just announced this kind of uncarrier where they don't charge you. It's very affordable.
Right. And they've been changing the pricing. So I just checked this morning. They're both free.
They're free. With a two-year deal.
With a two-year.
But they have true unlimited. Yeah. And their HSPA Plus is actually not too bad. How is it here in the Petaluma?
I actually did a speed test in the kitchen.
Which is where I like to do my speed tests.
Yeah, on my Nexus. And I got 16 down.
16 megabits down.
Yeah, on 4G.
Because nobody uses T-Mobile.
Right. And
so you got all of it to yourself.
Yeah, and I compared it with Josh, his iPhone. And he got 18 down.
Okay.
So 16 is...
It ain't bad. Yeah. And the Verizon was using LTE.
Yeah.
So I have to say, I just because it's, what, I think $70 a month for unlimited data, text, and messaging, or voice.
Yes.
That's a pretty compelling thing, and that's a nice phone. So something to look at.
Definitely.
All right. Thank you, Tony Wang, editor-in-chief. You may go now because Russell is here to talk about something you don't want to know about, Windows. Do you like Windows 8?
Yes.
You like the Windows phone. I thought you were an Android guy.
Well, no.
Maybe you want to stick around.
Both, yeah.
Do you have, first of all, is this a Surface Pro 128?
Yes.
Where'd you get one of them?
This is a Surface Pro 128, and it was a little bit hard to get hold of.
Yeah.
I was not going to go wait in a line for a Surface Pro, and I was not going to, you know, camp out websites over and over and over again, ordering, you know, pre-orders and back orders and all that. So I basically just got lucky one day when I went to the Microsoft Store's webpage, and it said that there was one in stock.
Not as hard now as it was when they first came out.
It's not as hard now, They're available now for the 64 and the 128.
So you had a Surface RT. So this is not your first Windows 8.
I still have the Surface RT here.
So let's compare the two. So, is it roughly the same form factor?
It's basically the same design.
You use the same keyboard, I notice.
You can use the same keyboard and all the same accessories, but let me get them next to each other here. So
it's a little thicker, it looks like.
What we've got is we've got the Surface Pro over here with the type cover and the Surface RT with the touch cover. So it's actually, it looks noticeably thicker.
Yeah.
And they say it's only, I think, a quarter of an inch thicker. But for some reason,
it's not insignificant when you're only half an inch.
It seems small when you're looking at the specs.
Yeah.
And then you get it in real life and realize that that extra half pound and that extra quarter inch or so is really significant.
That has fans, too.
It feels hefty. It has fans. And so what they've done is they've given it some vents here around the side. So instead of actually putting a particular fan vent, this is actually a nice design because you don't have the heat blowing out in any one direction. So
it goes all the way around, it looks like. Yeah.
You don't want to put it next to your leg because that's where it blows out. So
it's one of the complaints people had about RT was the Surface RT was it wasn't too snappy. How does the Surface Pro feel? That's an i5?
This is an i5. It's very snappy. And, you know, the benefit of it is that you're going to be able to run full Windows applications on it. So
that's why you get it for desktop for compatibility. Hide his password, would you? All right. He's going to log in right there.
All right. So, inside of the kind of Metro interface, everything is very fluid and snappy. And, you know, it's got an i5 and it's got a 4 gigs of RAM, 64-bit. So everything inside of this interface is great. And that's something that the RT sort of had trouble with. One of the issues that you get with this, though, is that the reason you buy this, in my opinion, is really so that you can still run traditional Windows applications.
Right.
And the issue is that when you're running traditional Windows applications, you're going to be using
desktop.
The desktop mode most of the time.
Now, this is a pretty high-resolution screen.
This is a high-resolution screen. This is 1920 by 1080.
Mm.
And so 1920...
Which is nice.
It's nice. It's very high-resolution.
But those touch targets must be kind of tiny.
But the issue is that Windows has never really been designed for...
Right.
Touch in the first place. So it's not designed for touch if you're using the Surface RT, which has a 1366 by 768.
So hitting the close window or...
Right, hitting close window and things like that. You know, you can do it, but one of the issues is that this is set to 150% font scaling. So you can see, you know, icons, you know, the applications that support font scaling and font DPI, they look pretty good. All of the legacy applications, though, they either have very blurry fonts where everything's blown up or everything's too small. So one of the good things that you can do is they say that, well, you know, you can run real Photoshop on it. So I'll just go ahead here and launch my Photoshop on it.
This is a 10.5-inch screen?
It's 10.1.
10.1.
And 1920 by 1080. You can see
very high
resolution
for something.
There.
Yeah, this small.
And then Photoshop has not been designed.
But now you can use the trackpad. I mean,
you can use the trackpad. So you've got the little trackpad here on the type or the touch.
But you're not going to be able to use your fingers for it.
But you're not going to be able to use your fingers.
No.
You can barely use the trackpad because it's hard to see without getting close to it.
That's tiny.
Exactly
it is.
What is what.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can come up here and make a new image.
I can't imagine somebody would buy this to use Photoshop, though. You're much more likely to buy it to use Office.
Right.
Maybe
and then,
some line of business
you know, Office
programs.
Office sort of has the ability to do that. But line of business programs is why I had bought this to evaluate. And those line of business programs don't support that high DPI,
right.
And they don't look right in it.
Right. And Excel, which is something people use in Office quite a bit, well, that's neat. It does a stylus. That's cool.
So, yeah. So you have Excel. You get a stylus on the side here. So, yeah, I've got my full version of Office on it. But... you don't get it. So the Surface RT, you get that kind of home and student version.
It comes with Office.
Word and Excel.
This does not.
This does not. So this has my, you know, $500 copy of Office on it. It has my Creative Suite on it. So, you know, I've loaded this thing up with, you know, $1,500 worth of software.
And that was another complaint some people had was that at a 128 gig machine, you only have about 60 or 70 gigs free. Have you found it to be a little hard to get everything on there you wanted to?
It's getting a little bit tight. So I knew that I did not want the 64 gig because you've got like 20-something, 28,
right.
29 gigabytes free. And I still wanted to be able to install Lightroom, Photoshop,
right.
You know, maybe a game or two on Steam. And you would not have the ability to do that unless you bought the 128 version. I would actually like to have a 256 version just because now if I take this with me and I want to load any photos on it, my memory card in my camera is 128 gigs.
Yeah, you could
so
pull that up.
You know, where am I going to put all of that?
Now, you can put an SD card, a micro SD card.
Yes,
in there,
you can put an SD card in there.
So I could add 64 more gigs.
You could add some more gigs that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're going to use it for any serious storage, you're still going to be carrying around a portable hard drive.
It has a USB 3 interface?
Yes, it does have USB 3, which I don't believe the RT has.
Right.
But I've got about 47 gigabytes free. And I think I have Team Fortress 2, the CS apps, Office.
Well, that's pretty good.
You know, it's pretty good. I was expecting less.
Right.
So, you know, I'm pretty happy with that.
See, that one of the things problems I had was on the RT was with Excel. It's hard. Those touch points are a little bit too small, too. Excel is not made for touch. And so it's nice that you can use these traditional programs on here. but it's not exactly optimal. You might want a bigger computer or a better mouse,
right,
to use those.
So one of the benefits is that, yeah, you can run Excel, you can run the full version of OneNote, but
kind of good,
you know, and then you get this kind of stuff because it's Windows. Right. I mean, I just launched Excel. I don't know what happened last time I launched Excel, but so, you know, maybe I was rotated, maybe I had it smaller, but now I'm going to try to grab it with my finger and
it's a real challenge. It can be an exercise.
Oh, yeah, and that's
in
nice and
frustration.
Laggy.
So he's stretching the window out to accommodate the templates.
So now I can open my blank workbook, and you know, they've resized Excel so that on the 1080 screen it's still usable, where when you go to Photoshop,
right,
I can't touch any of that.
Right.
I'm not even going to try.
Right.
So the other thing that you get with the Surface Pro is you get the Wacom style pressure sensitive digitizer.
So it's a 10 touch points, but
so you get
many hundreds of levels.
But you get, I think it's 1,024. I might be wrong about that.
Pressure.
But, you get a bunch of levels of pressure. So in a software application that supports it, unfortunately, Photoshop is one that does not support it yet. You have the ability to draw with the pen, and the harder you push, the darker.
I
so you can see how I've got real light, thin, if I just barely touch it there. But then if I really push down on it,
yeah,
I get the,
and this is OneNote
marks there.
And
this is OneNote 2013.
Yeah,
There's
also some. There's a great Microsoft has a great free painting program.
Yes,
that will take advantage of the touch.
Yeah, screen. So there's more and more apps that are available that are going to take advantage of that. So if it was something that you know you wanted to carry around and use for note taking, it's a nice feature to have. However, there's a couple design issues with it. One of the issues is that there's nowhere to put the pen.
Oh, it doesn't have a slot?
So it has a little magnetic. What they did is they decided to use the really terrible magnetic charging port that is really fiddly and hard
pins,
to actually it's hard to connect, like you're
trying
to feel where it connects and then you're like, oh, do I have it connected, do I not. This uses that same kind of port there, so like you sort of have to feel around for it, you know, and then it finally clicks. So what I'll do is turn it around this way so you can sort of see it there. It sits on here, and the issue with that is that you're gonna have to store it that way. So when you charge it, you have to remove the pen so that you can charge it, and then you have to remember to put the pen back. So I had to look around last night because I did not know where my pen was.
Does it come with a pen?
It does come with the pen.
But
the
just
pen's about
$30
to replace it. And the issue is that when you're holding it, so if I want to pull my type cover off here and use it as a tablet instead of as an actual kind of notebook replacement,
you're going to knock the pen loose.
The pen's just there. So when you kind of grab it, there it goes.
There it goes.
So, you know, the pen just kind of comes right off. So, you know, you have their charging port, you have the mini display port, micro SD, the keyboard kind of dock connector there, and your USB 3 and volume and headphone. But there's no actual dock connector. So to use it as a proper desktop replacement, you know, if you didn't want to have a desktop at home and wanted to hook this to a large monitor and a keyboard and a wired Ethernet, you're going to end up with this sitting on a desk with a bunch of cables all attached to it. And it's not really designed to do that.
All right, here's the real question. How does Team Fortress 2 play on there? Let's see it. Come on.
So,
you got to launch it. I got to see this. I'm not crazy about the kickstand because you can only have one angle. And not ideal for
the
gaming.
The kickstand angle is not really ideal for gaming.
Yeah.
The other thing that I found...
Do you use touch in Team Fortress?
No. So the other thing is that, you know, this is a very powerful machine, and I'm trying to figure out what you can actually do with it.
Right.
So, yeah, it's great that they put all of this power into here.
Right.
But what can you, you know, can you actually play any great games with it? And right now, there's nothing built for the Windows 8 Store apps that are optimized for touch, that are optimized, you know, to really use all the power of this machine. And one of the things I noticed is that with this type cover, you cannot use both the, like, WASD type keys and the and the trackpad at the same time. So
are you getting a security warning?
Yeah, you get that Windows firewall thing the first time. So if I were to dock this with my... little keyboard dock here, I can't use the WASD and the touchpad at the same time because you can use either or.
That's interesting. I didn't know about that limitation.
Yeah, if you're actually using this trackpad, the keys don't work. And then if you're using the keyboard, the trackpad doesn't work.
That's probably to keep you from incidental trackpad.
It's probably
clicking,
like a palm check thing, which is one of the negatives about some of the other devices is that they don't have that at all.
You could use a USB mouse.
You can plug in your USB mouse. You can plug in...
How's the frame rate on this anyway?
It's pretty good. You get about 30 to 40 frames a second. Mm-hmm. It's an Intel. I guess I'll say no thanks.
And again, you see why.
Again, I got
Windows.
This
is no fun at all.
I
press the home button and get the hell out of there.
And so I've already had to install Classic Start on it because I can't stand actually using.
8 takes a little getting used to. There you have it. Let's get the pros and cons on the Surface Pro.
So that went about as expected. So, you're just trying to find things that you can really do with it. And it's just so many compromises in one package.
Right. It's cool.
It's cool.
It's a neat form factor, but it's not really work ready.
It's not going to be the thing that saves Microsoft, and it's not going to be the killer. There's no killer app or killer device, really, for this.
Right.
So the pros are is that it's got great performance. It's very fast. There's really no compromises in this kind of size and form factor. You're not going to get something that's as fast with, the nice quiet design and all that. The full HD display is beautiful, looks great.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a downside for many legacy Windows apps. So
it's so high res.
It's so high res that I just can't recommend it for, legacy line of business apps
and
things like that. And the pressure sensitive pen is a really nice feature to have.
$899?
It's $899 for the 64 gig. It's $999 for the 128.
That's the one you want.
So that's the one you want. So you're at $999, and that does not include the Office software. Does not include a touch or a type cover. So that's an additional $119 for the touch cover and $129 for the type cover.
Right.
The other con is that this isn't your always on, always around tablet. The battery life is only 2 to 3 hours.
Oh.
When you're using it. For any kind of task.
You
can eke more out of it if you go into the display settings, set it to the dimmest setting, open up the Metro Internet Explorer, don't go to anything that has flash, just try to conserve power and browse the web kind of in the low power mode, maybe you can get 4 hours out of it. And so in real life, though, I keep getting 2 to 3 hours, usually around two, and that's just not long enough.
That's disappointing.
There's no the battery's built in, so you can't swap the battery out with a charged one. There's no kind of desktop dock station where you'll be putting it back in that dock all the time. So you have to keep taking the pen on and off and putting the charger on. It charges pretty quickly. It charges about 2 to 3 hours as well. So, at least there's that, but, it also feels really heavy and thick. So
this is why we're glad you buy this stuff.
Right. So,
we don't have to.
I buy it so that you don't have to. I buy it so that my clients don't have to. Right. And it's sort of just,
now you can make that recommendation. When your clients come to you and say, Russell, Exponentia,
yes,
should I buy the Surface Pro? You'll say?
I'll say try. And the only reason I'm saying try is because it is the highest performance, best built, Windows Pro tablet that I've used and seen. So if you know that you want this.
If you need a tablet,
if you need this form factor,
right,
and you need to run the full Windows apps, and you can think of all kinds of cool things that you'll use it for and that you won't need your laptop and you won't need your desktop, then sure, you can try it. But, there's no 3G or 4G options. There's no dock options. It just feels, a little 1.0. And I think once Windows gets to the point where there is an application that is touch optimized that needs that kind of performance, you might benefit from that.
And certainly, if you're going to put your line of business apps on there, try them first to make sure they're usable even on the very high resolution.
So the screen is the biggest issue with the line of business apps.
Yeah.
I found that like the Dell Latitude 10, which is an Atom based tablet, runs a line of business apps just as well.
Right.
And doesn't have the screen resolution issues and has the docks.
Sometimes a lower res screen is better.
So yeah, unfortunately, everybody, and I was, hopeful that this was going to be able to replace my laptop. And, you can't quite type as well on the type cover as you can on a real laptop. You've got your fixed, kickstandy thing. You can't use it on your lap. And the battery life of my i7 laptop is twice as long. Right. So,
thank you, Russell Tammany, Exponentia.com. He's our consulting engineer around here and keeps the networks humming.
We
appreciate it.
Thank you.
I have another device that's been long awaited. People have been very interested in. We've been hearing about BlackBerry and their imminent demise for some time. They said last year, wait till you see BlackBerry 10. It's awesome. It's a new operating system. And it's here. This is the first BlackBerry 10 BlackBerry phone. This is the Z, or if you're in Canada, Z10, available on every carrier in the U.S. except Sprint. So that's AT&T and T-Mobile. T-Mobile's only charging $100 for it. AT&T and Verizon, $200 with a two-year contract. I really have to say there are some nice things about this phone. First of all, the operating system, BlackBerry 10, is based on something called QNX, QNX, which is a real-time operating system that's quite snappy, and you feel that snappiness. This is a dual-core 1.4 gigahertz processor, 2 gigs of RAM on this. So there's some horsepower under the hood, but it flows very nicely. One thing you'll notice immediately, there are no buttons on this. Everything is about sliding in and out. BlackBerry calls this flow, and it is a very natural way to work. You, if you've played with the BlackBerry Playbook or a Palm Pre, the WebOS operating system might be familiar to you. You can have up to 8 apps running in the background. You see I've got 4, and as you add apps, they'll replace the over 8. They'll replace the previous ones. So you get 8 icons here. You can slide over to see the icons for other apps. Apps is one, of course, the great lacks here. This is such a new operating system. There are somewhere between 50 and 100,000 apps, depending on who you ask, available for the BlackBerry Z10. But most of the apps you want, like Netflix, are not on here yet. It does come with Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Foursquare apps. Nicely implemented, too. I mean, they use the touch very well. This is the Foursquare app. You can see the scrolling is fast and responsive. When you're done with an app, you slide down from the top to minimize its icon. And let me do it right. Sorry, you slide down from the bottom to minimize the icon and slide over to the right to see the other icons. That's one of the problems with this, is a whole new way of operating a phone. It does take a little bit of getting used to. One of the other things I like a lot about the new BlackBerry is this hub, where everything is combined into one list. You've got your calendar. If you scroll down on the hub, you've also got all your emails, your tweets, your messages from Facebook. So, you know, BlackBerry's famous for being a email handling tool, and you really see that in the Z10. This hub interface is great for something like that. So kind of an interesting new user interface, which I like. Beautiful screen. It's very high resolution, very clear. Somewhere in between the resolutions of phones like the Galaxy S3 and the iPhone. It's higher than that. I think it's almost 400 DPI, but lower than the DNA and the new S4 and the HTC One, which are all very high resolution screens. You know, they're not pushing, you know, specs, speeds, and feeds on this. They're really talking more about, you know, kind of the UI and the interface. And I think that that makes sense. People who buy BlackBerries probably don't buy it for how you know, the screen resolution and things like that. It is a 4.2-inch 1280 by 768 display. I guess that's 356 pixels per inch. I just looked it up. Which is great. I mean, it's a beautiful-looking display. As you can see, not very customizable. Certainly, with Android, you'd have a lot of widgets and so forth. You can't do any customization to the screen. You can change the wallpaper. That's about it. Put your name and phone number on the front. You slide up to unlock to get in to it. You know, it's got a replaceable battery, 1,800 milliamp hour battery. Not the best battery life, maybe 8 hours battery life. You can't put a micro SD card in here. The camera is 8 megapixels and gives you decent images. It has its own mapping software, BlackBerry mapping software, which you can also download Waze mapping software. A lot of the Google apps that you might be looking for on iOS or Android are missing on this. And I think apps are going to, in the long run, be a bit of a problem for this platform. You've got to convince developers to write for what is, at best, the number 4 platform after Android, iOS, and Windows Phone 8. If you're in the BlackBerry environment, though, you'll be very comfortable. You've got BBM. It supports BlackBerry Server. It's, you know, BlackBerry folks believe that they have a more secure platform, and while I'm no expert on that, you know, it certainly is BlackBerry. Oh, I forgot one really kind of neat feature, and some people think this is probably the best thing about the BlackBerry. Let me start a new text message on here. It has an interesting keyboard that you could see. I don't know if you can tell, but it's this. There's a little more vertical space between the keys, which makes it a little bit easier to type on. And it has a predictive thing. Let me just pick somebody's name to send a text to. That is quite cool. So as I start typing, let's hope it does it. Oh, I'm doing it. Let me do it right here. Enter a message. This. Now you can see, I don't know if you can see it, but there's little suggestions popping up on the keyboard. It learns from what you type and starts offering things like names and addresses. So as I start typing message, I got it wrong, so I can, but it has a little recommendation, very hard to see, but there's a little messages here. I can swipe this into the swipe this into the field. And, I mean, I think that's kind of interesting. A lot of people say this is the best on-screen keyboard out there. It certainly is a little bit easier to use than iPhone and the smaller Android phones. But if you're a BlackBerry fanatic, you're not going to think it's a replacement for the hardware keyboard. You might want to wait for the Q10, which is the next BlackBerry 10 phone, which will have a traditional BlackBerry keyboard on this. So all in all, I'll give you the pros and cons. In terms of pros, the new operating system, BlackBerry 10, is, in fact, pretty nice. It's very usable. It's very smooth. This has a great screen. I didn't mention it, but the sound quality on all BlackBerry phones is famous. This has its excellent BlackBerry sound quality. I'll play a YouTube video. Maybe you'll be able to tell how good it sounds. It's really excellent speakerphone quality. Picture is very good on the phone. I'm very happy with that. The cons are that it's a little bit late to the game, frankly. I mean, when the iPhone came out in 2007, there were a lot of rough edges. This is kind of comparable to that, but it's not 2007 anymore. We're 6 years later, and you can get much more polished platforms from Android and from Apple. Let me pause this. By the way, I can pause it and swipe it up and put the thumbnail here. And these thumbnails will update while they're in the background. So that's kind of cool. It's not fully multitasking, but like if I continue to play the audio from this, it will continue to play as I swipe up. The video doesn't play, but it will jump to that part of the video when I resize this. But you can see it's still playing in the background. So it's kind of a middle ground in terms of multitasking. Same thing with music apps and so forth. Cons, it's a little late to the game. It's kind of average hardware with kind of average battery life. In fact, it looks a lot like an iPhone. Camera's only average. Everything about it is pretty middle of the road. I'm gonna give it an interesting recommendation. If you're a BlackBerry fan, if you're a BlackBerry user, if you use BBM, if you want to stay in the BlackBerry universe, I'd say absolutely this is a buy. The only negative would be the lack of a hardware keyboard, and if you're a big hardware keyboard fan, you're going to want that. If you're not a BlackBerry user, it's a don't buy. There's no reason to buy this if you're using iPhone, Android, or Windows Phone. It's really only for people already in the BlackBerry universe. I wouldn't migrate to BlackBerry from an existing platform. So that's both a buy and a don't buy. Yeah. Buy it if you love BlackBerry, or at least try it. You might want to wait for the Q10 for the hardware keyboard. Did you play with this at all, Tony?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. Well, good. Here you go. And by the way, it comes with a lovely blingy case. For no extra charge. BlackBerry people are gonna be very happy with it. It shows that BlackBerry still has some life in the platform, and I think BlackBerry 10 is a really smart move on the point for BlackBerry to get into that much better operating system than the previous versions. Well, that just about does it for this edition of Before You Buy. Our thanks to Shannon Morse, to Tony Wang, to Lisa Cancel, to Russell Tammany. For giving us your great reviews. Thanks to you for joining us. We do this show every Tuesday afternoon, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 2300 UTC on twit.tv. So do watch live if you can. If you've got a suggestion for us, email byb@twit.tv. And don't forget, you can always watch any of our reviews individually or as a whole on YouTube, youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. We also have on-demand audio and video on the website, twit.tv/BYB. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time. Remember, you gotta watch before you buy. See you later.